How's everybody feeling? Awesome. Yeah? We could go on for days. Oh, no, you're good. You're good. So there's a lot of stuff in here that I would have loved to spend time going over with you, but it's days worth of stuff. I could, a couple of things we could do. I want to just finish with kind of wrapping things up. There's a few food things. Most of you know these, but there's a few things I want to point out with food and the importance of food and elixirs and things like that. And I would like to see if you want to just have me go through that list of the handouts that are in there and give you one or two quick tips about what they are. So does that sound like something we could do? I could do that right away, and then we'll go through the slides and close. That sound good, or is you good to go? Just go read them at home. Okay, let's do that first. So I'm just going to go through them in the alphabetical order and talk about the ones we haven't talked about yet and point out the ones that I think are super important. They're all super important. They're all really valuable. At the adrenal fatigue versus low thyroid, it's just a list. It's just a list of symptoms and signs, and you can use to differentiate what's the primary. Like, is the thyroid causing the adrenal or the adrenal causing the thyroid? We talked about the thyroid restoration protocols earlier. There's basically for stage one, there's a way that you can one. This is your, I'm just going through your, just going through your table of contents. So, and it lists where they are. For the restoration protocols, again, we went through that before. It tells you how to, the saliva test interpretation tells you how to interpret, and then the test protocols tell you, once you've determined, are they stage one, two, or three, what are some of the things you can possibly do with them? This comprehensive insulin reversal, step by step. We talked insulin resistance. We talked earlier about testing the blood sugar and looking at the pattern there. This is going to give you some just step-by-step the various things you need to do. Obviously, it's not the full detail of that. We do a whole 6-week program called Insulin Resistance Solution Practitioner Training that will go through all of that, and we also go through it in the program, the step-by-step program. Discovery intake, we went through the factors that negatively affect thyroid. That's just for your reference. Some of them are chemicals like Donna was talking about. Some of them are medications. So as you're talking to your person, they've been on thyroid medication forever, their thyroid's not healing, and you start to find out, oh, are you doing antacids? And oh, are you doing this medication? So it's just a checklist. And you can print one of these off and keep it in your file for each person and just check off which of those medications they're on, which of those things that they're exposed to in terms of the disruptors. Health coaching success model we're going to do up here. Herbs reported to restore insulin sensitivity. Again, just a nice little summary chart of the herbs that have been reported to help the insulin receptors to become more receptive. And it's not an all-inclusive list, but it's a decent-sized list, and it gives you a little bit about how and why. Things like, well, avocado is a really great thing to help to restore insulin sensitivity, and carob, and there's a whole long list, berberine, things like that. History-taking guidelines, history-taking shortcut. We went through yesterday that discovery consult form, but the history-taking guidelines is just more of a, it's more of a list of the various things you want to make sure you don't miss in helping to take care of your people. I want to look at the shortcut. I think we went through that, but that was because I'm not remembering exactly what that was. 33, page 33 is the shortcut. Because you may decide that you just really don't like to do a history on paper. 33. Okay. Yeah, we went through that before. So it's basically, if you decide, I have a friend, a colleague, who's, she does not like to have people fill out a form. She likes to just ask them questions, down to their height, their weight, their address, their phone number. I'm like, to me, that's a waste of time because I don't have all that much time in front of somebody. I'd rather use their time to help to get targeted and understand what's going on. I'd rather them fill out a form that tells me all their health history and the diseases and the medications and the supplements they've been on, and then hone right in and then really be able to connect with them without having to learn all about that. You can do it however you choose to do. It is good to get the experience of doing a history that way. Okay, so what about this, what about that? But you also do get to get a more thorough history if it's on paper and then you delve deeper within the areas that you're concerned about. I've got a list of the home and in-office tests, the hormone balancing elixirs. We're going to go through that in a moment. We'll come back to that. The Functional Endocrinology Lab Testing Directory, we went through that yesterday. It's the labs that I've used, plus the labs that you can actually access if you don't have a license to do labs. You can order through these other portals. Nutrient assessment chart we went through already. That's the list of all the nutrients and the different signs and symptoms of out of balance there. And the reproductive hormone labs. So we talked about estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. There's some saliva tests, and it lists the tests that you can do to evaluate that. It's more advanced stuff, and it's very valuable, so that'll give you a resource, and you can go to their websites, and you can research and find out more. It's just, if you don't have these little tools to get you started, you're like, okay, now I'm going to go to the internet. It's all on the internet, but where do I go? Right? So I've created you these summaries. Art of Engineering, we talked about that. Thyroid balancing protocols, we talked about that. I think there's a duplication. We accidentally gave you double thyroid protocols. I think it's at the end of the other thyroid thing, but if it's there twice, just know that it was just in our haste. Thyroid home assessments, that's that iodine test I told you about before, the basal body temperature. There's a chart that you can do to help to track your person's, the temperature. Broda Barnes wrote a book a long time ago, Hypothyroidism, the Unsuspecting Illness, and he said, you don't need lab tests, you don't need anything, just need a thermometer, right? Signs, symptoms, and a thermometer. That's fine too. I mean, if their body temperature is low, there could be other reasons that it's low, but chances are good that if they have low body temperature, they probably have thyroid imbalance. And then finally, the lab test, which we did earlier. That was a really complex chart, and I'm glad we got to go over it. And it's just going to take you playing with it and doing some labs and checking them off. That will save you so much time. Let me tell you, that will save you so much time as you work with people. Okay? So let's look at going back to the hierarchies. It's really clear that it's going to be the order that's important for that person. Generally speaking, however, if you do those questionnaires and digestion comes out as out of balance, even if it's the lowest one of all the ones that were out of balance, I would start there in general. Because if you don't get their digestion working, nothing else is going to work. You can't get anything absorbed. The blood sugar, again, if the blood sugar is out of balance, I would work that next. Because if the blood sugar is out of balance, it's going to create a stress on their thyroid, it's going to create a stress on their adrenals, it's going to create a stress on their sex hormones. So again, you're looking at hierarchies. If you do the stress indexes or you're doing symptom tests and you're seeing, say, a lot of things that are out of balance, even if if the digestion's out of balance, you're going to do it, whether even if it's the lowest out of balance. If the next you're going to look at, okay, what next? Well, you're either going to do the blood sugar if it's out of balance or the highest one. If the stress is out of balance, even if it's not the highest, then you do that third, right? And then if the thyroid's out of balance, even if it's not more out of balance than some of the other stuff, you do it fourth. So that would be the order. And if those are in balance, then you're basically going to go with sleep if that's out of balance, and then whichever of those organs and sex glands and whatever shows up first. So those would kind of fall in if they're problematic and they're showing up. But the other four, if they're showing up problematic, the order you're going to do them in would be that if they're all out of balance, right? Does that make sense? And then after that, you just go by what seems to be from your history and your labs and everything to be the highest priority. If they're all out of balance, you're starting with digestion, working with blood sugar. Then you go down. And then once you've gotten through thyroid, then you just go whichever one down here is the most out of balance. Because the sleep might be related. If it's not already fixed by the time you get through those, it might be related to the sex hormones. So then you just take all the rest of them and say, what's the most out of balance? That's my next priority. Yeah, and that's a great question. That's a great question because it depends on the person and how much you're going to get compliance from them. So it could take a while to get these completely imbalanced. And so you get things started, but you might have a heavy-duty parasite cleanse at the beginning or a leaky gut cleanse, and then you're going into maintenance mode to try to keep it going, and then you could do the blood sugar. But ideally, you work on them at the same time, but most people don't want to be like doing all these different things. But the thing is, if you pick the digestion first, a lot of the other stuff gets partially fixed. So for example, There's an herb, it's a part of an herb called berberine. It's a constituent of golden seal and argan grape. It's helpful for gut repair. It's helpful for immune system, but it also helps to reverse insulin resistance. See? So you're looking at this. Now, if the blood sugar is really highly out of balance and getting off of sugar, if you're getting off of sugar to fix the digestion, that's going to help the blood sugar balance. So just when you do it in this hierarchy, things below are going to get better. But if you don't do it in this, if everything's out of balance and you don't fix the digestion, probably no matter what you do, you're not going to see that much improvement, right? And if the blood sugar is out of balance, even if it's not that high, if it's out of balance and you don't fix it first, a lot of the other stuff won't, because the blood sugar is going to affect the cardiovascular system, right? It's going to affect the adrenals. It's going to affect the thyroid. It's going to affect all of those things. So the answer is then, it depends on how it works and how much you can get a person to do. Some people will say, tell me what to do and I'll do it, and you work on it. Other times you go, and let's just get this handled first because we might have some detox happening. Like with digestion, well, you can get into major die-off reactions if you're clearing up their gut. And they want to do the minimum possible during that time, right? And it's working through it slowly. So when you have a framework like that, it's always up to your clinical judgment. Otherwise, you could just hand people pieces of paper and say, here, do this. And that's not what happens, right? Did that answer your question? Okay, good. All right. So did anybody find that form? So I'm just going to quickly go through some of the food, because there's so much food wisdom that you can do with people. And I really want to encourage you to look upon yourself and see if you're having struggles with compliance and you're having struggles with getting off of sugar and coffee, then your clients are going to have trouble, right? Because you're not there yet. But if you're living there and you're teaching them these amazing ways that they can enjoy their food and still be healthy with their food. My food theory is real food. Eat real food, lots and lots and lots of greens, with some exceptions, because some people are sensitive to greens or have oxalate problems. Those are really advanced things. And you start with, they need the greens. They need the whole real food. Is it vegan? Is it vegetarian? I'm really clear that I don't think anybody that has any kind of health challenges should be eating gluten, dairy, sugar, max, hydrogenated oils, processed meat. I said dairy. I'll say it again. I don't think anybody should be eating those foods, especially if they have any issues. So people say, well, how long do I have to go off of this? Well, until you're perfectly well, you have no more symptoms, and then you try it back and it doesn't reintroduce your symptoms. It's just people that have illnesses and you don't do this, you're not going to get the same results, right? Somebody who's healthy and fit and all this, and they have an occasional piece of cheese and a glass of wine, probably not going to hurt them. But somebody who has these illnesses, or they have the genetic stuff going on that Michaeline talked about, even that little bit might throw them into a spin. So it's what I talk to people about is you make these changes. And once you've made the changes and you really like the way you're feeling and you're feeling like, okay, now I can go back. For example, at the end of my insulin resistance program, they'll say, okay, I've just done 30 days. Now, you know, I'm ready to go. And I started eating bananas and you know, strawberry shortcake the next day. And okay, just the 30 days came and I stopped taking my chromium and magnesium and DHA. How do you know? Well, the transition. So if you're on a nutrient protocol, is that me? If you're on a nutrient protocol and or a diet and you get to this period of time where it's supposed to have been the minimum you're supposed to do it, and you're ready to say, okay, do I really need that much chromium? Back it off by a fraction. See how you do. You suddenly start to gain weight and crave sugar. Go back to it, right? And you do that with foods, and we take you through the food allergy training and all that to figure out how to do that. Does that make sense? So food, I mean, I'm passionate about it because I think it can dramatically shift, and I see a lot of people who think that they're on a good diet, and they're not. They think that they're eating healthfully, and they're not, and they're wondering why they have symptoms and subtle changes. When Donna came to see me, she had been on a raw foods diet for whatever, a year and a half, and it wasn't doing, she was gaining weight. And when I asked her about gluten, she said, no, I don't eat gluten. And I'm like, I'm just 100% raw. And then when we really dug in, we found out that she was eating it, but maybe once a week or twice a month or something like that? Or was she drinking coffee? Well, occasionally. So all these little things that she was doing occasionally, because she had antibody levels through the roof, she couldn't get away with that. And when she realized that grapefruit made her blood sugar go up to 185, and she was on a raw foods diet, eating lots of dates and banana smoothies and things like that, no wonder she was gaining weight, because it was triggering her into fat storage because all of the insulin that was being secreted. So when people tell you they're on this really great diet and they're not getting the results, you just don't sit there going, oh my God, I can't help you. You think about, what is it about that diet that is not working for them, and how can I help them reverse it? Somebody comes to you and says, oh, I've been on a macrobiotic diet and I'm doing great. Well, super. Another person comes and says, I'm on a macrobiotic diet, I'm gaining weight and I feel like crap. Well, you're probably eating 80% of their calories from rice, brown rice, and they're eating sea vegetables and they're eating all this great stuff, but if they don't tolerate grains or if they have insulin resistance, that diet's not going to do well, right? The 80-10-10 diet, people come and they crash on it. Other people thrive on it. They crash on it because their sugars are going through. I tried that diet for a day and a half. And all I could think about was, when can I eat my next bananas and mangoes? I was craving sugar. I was on this sugar high the whole time. So I go down to mostly greens, a little bit of fruit, some seeds, occasional nuts, avocados. That works for me. We have to help our person find that diet. So it's not going to be the same, but there are some general rules. There are some general things that disrupt your hormones. So hydrogenated fats, we heard about that from Donna, shockingly, that the stuff that says no trans fats, what does that say? Don't buy food with labels. It's pretty darn simple, right? What's the label say? Oh, where did the labeling instructions go on the apple or the kale? Yeah, it's nice. Some of them actually do have it, right? They'll tell you the nutrients. What's that? You can buy the New Earth stuff because it's all real food, right? They're starting with real food. There's no preservatives. They're not trying to beat the FDA and put 4.5 grams of hydrogenated fat. And that's a large amount of fat, 4.5 grams. That's 36 calories, 45 calories, right? Or 42 calories. I'm doing math on stage. Wow. Okay, so processed high glycemic foods, flour, sugar, grains. I don't think anybody should be eating those. And even all these crazy gluten-free things that are just full of white rice flour, and people are going, well, I'm gluten-free, why do I feel like crap? Well, because you're filling up on all this processed stuff with eggs and sugar and processed. So I don't think anybody should be eating these things. And it's a process. You're going to help people to transition, and when they get healthy, if they occasionally have exposure to this, it's not a big deal. And if they do some TTAP after they get exposed, that'll help even more. Or tapping, or whatever they do. Charred meats, oh my God, heterocyclic amines promote ER alpha estrogen. And we didn't go into that, so you don't know what that is, but ER alpha, estrogen receptor alpha, is the really proliferative. And when you promote that with charred meats, woohoo, you're getting into the breast cancer risk and the ovarian cancer risk. Chemical laden foods. If Donna didn't convince you, if you weren't already convinced, we don't want to eat those things. Foods that come in cans and plastic, because the plastics in the cans leach into it. I mean, there's some things that may be in the stuff that's been sealed. I don't know your opinion about the cans and plastic, but I'm kind of not too thrilled about it. Who's going to answer? There she goes. I hear it. Just speak.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. I say definitely do not buy tomatoes in cans, okay, because the acid from the tomatoes will leach the BPA out of the plastic lining, or if you don't have a plastic lining, it'll leach it out of the metals out of the can, the heavy metals. But there is one brand called Muir Glen, and they sell their tomatoes in ceramic-lined cans. Muir Glen, M-U-I-R, Muir Glen. They use ceramic, so cans are really, you got to be careful, because if there's a white lining on the inside, that has BPA, and right. I would never buy it.
And then the plastics will leach, especially if it's hot, but the plastics will leach if it's acidic.
Yes, plastics
too.
Will leach BPA and a bunch of other things, and if you're going to buy something in plastic, the most important thing to remember is never, ever, ever heat in plastic.
Right.
Like, I hope we're not using microwaves anyway, but if we are, never heat anything or put hot food into plastic.
Yeah. Yeah, because it'll leach. But the other thing is glass. So she said about Muir Glen has the cans that are lined. I've seen tomato paste in jars, glass jars. So if you're going to get something, get it in a glass jar. But a lot of the juices they do sell in plastic containers. I don't know what your opinion about the plastic containers on the juices, if that's going to leach, like green juice. But sometimes it's like, okay, I'm out and I'm in a, in a situation where I can get a green juice in plastic, or I can get Coca-Cola or not get anything, or water that's tap water, go for the green juice and the plastic. So it's always a matter of choice of lesser of two evils. Foods in cans and plastic, gluten, dairy, I think that everybody should avoid it. Caffeine should be limited or avoided, especially if you've done your genetics and seen that you don't process it. You have one of those CYPs that Michaeline talked about yesterday, that you just don't process it efficiently. It's stressful on the system. What about what? Decaf coffee, though there's water processed and non-water processed. It's certainly a transition. It's probably best to go to green tea, all right? Because the decaf has the chemicals and tannins. They have certain tannins that interfere with function. And then we've got excessive alcohol. What's excessive? Well, to me, excessive alcohol is anything beyond the tinctures that I take in the morning that have alcohol in them. For you, it might be a little bit different. It depends on the person's situation. Some people think that more than two glasses a day of alcohol is excessive, and less than that is not. That's a bit much. Acetaldehyde, Michaeline talked about it yesterday. It affects the brain, it affects the liver, and it depends on your genetics whether you become addicted. So foods that support hormones, of course, there's lots of them. Greens, brassicas. I'm going to bring up the brassica issue. Somebody brought that up earlier. Will you address the brassica issue? Brassicas have gotten a bad rap, broccoli and kale and all that, with regard to thyroid. And it's like somebody got the idea that nobody should eat raw kale if they have a thyroid problem. And there, I did an exhaustive study on this about 4 or 5 years ago. It's just like, what is the story with this? I want to find some evidence, because it's like one person says it and then another person repeats it. And then, oh, I read it on so-and-so's blog. And the next thing you know, nobody should eat it. It's poisonous. And I've looked at these studies, and yes, there is a chemical called isothiocyanate in brassicas. And when you they did rat studies with this, and they fed them isolated isothiocyanate, sure enough, they developed hypothyroidism. When they looked at the quantity that was, it was the equivalent of, like, you know, 100 heads of broccoli a day. Like, who's going to eat 100 raw heads of broccoli, even if you're juicing all day long? So it was large quantities. But that said, biochemical individuality. So, but here's a couple of things to know about that. When they took those same rats and they fed them the isothiocyanate in these large amounts, but they also fed them iodine along with it, they didn't have the problem. So the problem is that isothiocyanate disrupts the binding of iodine to tyrosine to make thyroid hormone. So if you're in a society where everybody's iodine sufficient because they're drinking chlorinated water and fluoridated water and swimming in chlorinated pools and blah, blah, everything, showering with it, and Fukushima and all the radioactive iodine, we're iodine deficient. So if you're not iodine deficient, it's probably not going to have an effect. So whenever I make a smoothie with raw cruciferous, I put kelp in there. I just load it up with kelp. Now, that gives me all my iodine. It gives me my minerals and everything else in there. Okay. Now, there are some people I've worked with who've said, yes, every time I eat a lot of raw cruciferous, I make green smoothies with it, I do get cold symptoms. You know, the symptoms of hypothyroid will come back. So if that's the case, then lightly steam them or ferment them, and that takes it away. We do not want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, as they say. The brassicas are, like, they're so amazing. They're so healthy for you. So how do we eat them? Did you have a question? I'm scratching. So we don't want to throw it away. Make kimchi. Make cultured vegetables. Lightly steam them. In the wintertime, I don't like raw cruciferous vegetables, but I love to make a big pot of steamed broccoli and blend it up with the steam water and put lots of kelp in there and a lot of other seasonings, anti-inflammatory kind of seasoning. So there's a lot of ways you can have people use this. But if they tell you that they have a worsening of their hypothyroidism when they take the raw cruciferous, don't go saying, well, Dr. Rademarie said that it's not a problem, it must be all in your head, right? It's biochemical individuality. The last piece I want to mention is there were multiple human studies, and I don't have time to go into all of those, that said that they gave them large quantities of cruciferous and didn't have the problem. But the issue is there's the isothiocyanate gets converted to sulforaphanes, which gets converted to the DIM and the I3C indole-3-carbinol that I mentioned yesterday, which are very protective in estrogen metabolism. Well, if you have problems with some of your detox, remember those SNPs that Michaeline talked about, those CYP SNPs that were related to detox? If you have issues with that, either a poor liver detoxification and gut detoxification, shortage of those CYP enzymes, then you can't do that conversion, so it builds up. All right? So that's the deal. So does that answer the question about the cruciferous? But they're wonderful vegetables, and they're wonderful families. Somebody has a thing where they don't do well with oxalates, then they have to be careful about it. Raw cruciferous vegetables, raw any green vegetables can be problematic. Again, when they fix their leaky gut, oftentimes that gets rid of. So it's this vicious cycle, and you have to do certain things to deal with the person where they're at and then help them to move to the next piece. So again, other things, omega-3 fats, sea vegetables, coconut, you can read it. These are all things that you guys know about that are important to include and help people learn how to include. They're easy to include on a regular basis. Gluten, I can't say enough. Who was part of that gluten summit? Listen to, watch the gluten summit. If you haven't, look it up. I'll see if it's going to be there. I'm going to see him next week and ask him if it's going to be still available because I think they took it down. But amazing, over 30 hours of research from top scientists on all the aspects of gluten. And I had several of my clients wrote to me and said, oh my God, you've been telling me for so long how important this was. And when I actually heard scientist after scientist after scientist telling me the mechanisms and the reasons, they go, even a tiny bit is no good for me. I'm like, yeah, you know, thank you. So it's hybridized. It's not what it used to be. It's not natural. Kamut and spelt are different because they're non-hybridized. But if you've already been sensitized to gluten, you're going to be sensitized to those too. So I just recommend get rid of it, avoid it. If you have somebody that isn't any symptoms, the people that are going to come to you are not going to be coming to you saying, I feel really great. Can you help me with my nutrition? That's going to be rare. There may be some people that do that. In that case, I would say get them off of gluten so you stay feeling really great. But in that case, it's not as critical. Most of the people come to you, I'm tired, my hormones are out of whack, I have this and that. Anybody that has an illness, I've done many, many gluten tests, and every single one except for one came back positive. Every single one except for one. That was it. And she was shocked. She thought for sure it would have come back positive. She was willing to go off of it even without the test, but she decided from scientific reasons to do the test. So every single one. And when Michaeline talked about that MTHFR, remember the MTHFR? She said that the percentage, like 40% of the population has it. I haven't tested a single person that doesn't. Again, what's my population? It's not everybody that's feeling great, so I get the 40%. So my belief is that 100% of people with any kind of chronic conditions or fatigue or anything have that. That's the issue. That's what I'm feeling. So gluten, all of these things, the antibodies affect the thyroid, the inflammation affects adrenals, it affects the insulin receptors, it affects the gut, it promotes the leaky gut. You can't heal the leaky gut. And here's the deal with leaky gut. I'll just give you a little bit of an extra tidbit. When you get them off of gluten, there's villi, the little microvilli in the gut that stick up like this. They're like that. Or they may be like that. They've been stumped. Their growth has been set. They're flat, flattened. Thank you. Instead of shag carpet, they're tile floor. And it affects the absorption of nutrients. And so you can't just get them off gluten. And for some people, they get off of gluten, they feel great. For other people, it takes longer. It could be that they have cross-reactive foods, but it could be that it's just that leaky gut, and you have to spend a good 3-6 months repairing the leaky gut, and sometimes longer. And they have to be 100% off of it, because every time they put it back in, the reaction happens again. So really important stuff. So gluten is at the heart. If somebody doesn't want to go gluten-free, not willing to work with it, I just don't really feel comfortable working with them because I can't get results. Why do I want to work with somebody that I can't get results with? Because people will say to me, well, I don't want to do that diet thing and I don't want to take that herb thing. What else could I do? It beats me. I have no idea. Go find a different practitioner. And I don't say it that way. I want to come from a heartfelt place. But these are my tools. And I don't know how to fix things. If you go to a carpenter and you say, well, you know, there's this hole in my wall and I need it repaired. And he says, well, you need sheetrock and you need me to plaster it and I'll fix it. He goes, well, I don't want any of that stuff. Do you have anything else? It's like, these are my tools. This is how I fix it. You don't want me to fix it that way? You want me to put cotton balls over it? It's not going to hold up. So, and then fat. Fats are hugely important. If you start with one place, what two places, the gluten and the fats. Get their flats. I call it get an oil change. You get your car an oil change, give your body an oil change. Those bad fats are in their membranes. The membranes are where the nutrient exchange happens. Nutrients in, wastes out. You don't have nutrients going in and you don't have waste coming out. How can you be healthy? Every cell is sluggish and toxic. So the fats are super important. And I have had people who I have just changed the fats on and they've come back in a week and said, holy cow, I feel like a new person. It lubricates, it affects the immune system, so the fats are super important. I'm just giving you these are my ideas. I love my big bowl, especially in the winter. You just put a big bowl of veggies and you throw everything in there and you can blend part of the veggies and make a sauce for it and put some Thai seasonings and some coconut. And you can just think about all these ways that you can hit all the nutrients that you need in one big bowl that tastes great. And it's easy, it's quick, it's just wonderful. So you'll have those recipes. And finally, my hormone balancing elixir. She had a box of stuff and I guess she took it away, but what's that? Oh, she put it under there. So I have in your charts, let's go to that page. Somebody have the page number, it says hormone balancing elixirs. And I have, okay, somebody find the page. I lost my sheet that I was, oh, here it is. It's been a long weekend. I'm kind of losing it here. Okay, hormone balancing elixirs 35. Sorry. And I made this chart for you because elixirs are just, they're considered magical drinks. If you look it up in the dictionary, what is an elixir? Page 36 out of 90 is what I have. If you look it up in the dictionary, elixir says magic beverage. So we're looking at a magical beverage. So you can take these things and you can combine all these wonderful therapeutic herbs and fats and all kinds of great nutrients into one big glass and have it be warm and drink it like a hot cup of tea or coffee, but get this amazing energy from it. So if you look at page 35, I've got a chart and it gives you, and on the top of 35, it has the base of an elixir. So it starts with a liquid, herbal tea, nut or seed milk, fresh green juice or water. You start with 2 cups, you add some kind of fat. No, you're not going to add Crisco or butter or something. You're going to add something really a great fat. She's like, blah, gag. You're not going to add those things. You'll add coconut. I like to add fresh coconut, pieces of fresh coconut. You can add coconut butter, coconut oil, almond butter, hemp seeds, hemp seed oil. That's your fat base because the fat holds everything together and helps the herbs get absorbed. Some kind of flavorings. Essential oils are awesome. Extracts. There's something called medicine flower that has these little extracts. Almond extract, etc. Carob, vanilla, raw cacao. All kinds of flavorings. Sweeteners. No, we don't mean sugar. High fructose corn syrup. We mean, I like low glycemic. Some people will use organic honey if they can tolerate it. Most people I work with can't tolerate any kind of sweeteners because of their blood sugar. So we'll use something like stevia, green leaf stevia, or Lakanto, which is a combination of erythritol and monk fruit. What's it also called? What's it? Lohan. I think of it as, Lohan. Erythritol and xylitol could be okay. Some people have problems with that. So something to give it a sweetness. Sometimes for me, just the essential oils and the flavor and the coconut gives it enough sweetness for me. Salt or a little bit of kelp powder. So just to give it that balance, your 5-flavor balance is all in there. And then how do you pick your herbs to put in there? Well, you can look at the chart. I think my adrenals need some help today, or I just filled out my adrenal thing, or you give your person. Okay, and you pick out a few of the herbs, and you just do it. And I gave you some examples. There's an adrenal and immune boosting elixir. There's a thyroid restorative elixir. And there's an easy energizing hormone elixir. And then there's a mushroom free, because some people say they're sensitive to mushrooms. And I had reishi and cordyceps and things like that. Most people that say they're sensitive to mushrooms really mean the button mushrooms that they buy at the grocery store and not reishi in the therapeutics. So you might honor them in that request, but then as you go along and build rapport with them, you could say, well, you know, these are really therapeutic. They're a lot different. A lot of people who do have problems with regular store-bought mushrooms, these are the therapeutics. You might want to give it a little bit of a try. And if not, don't push it. And you can pick them from your other lists. So good? Yeah. The little bit of salt or kelp, actually salt is part of the flavor balancing. Sweet is part of the flavor balancing. So if you do the coconut, you probably don't need that. The flavor is just for flavor, right? Although essential oils have therapeutic value too, right? So I try to make everything therapeutic. I always stick greens in mine. I didn't put it in the recipes because it changes it a little bit. They're not quite as yummy when you handful of arugula in there or some of the Health Force Nutritionals green powder. I'll do that. But I didn't share those recipes unless you're the strong of heart. Because I love them that way, but these taste better. So. Oh, so the instructions say basically if you're making an herbal tea, you can make an herbal tea out of any of the herbs as well, or you can use a tea bag. I'll use sometimes the spring dragon or licorice mint or some sort of a therapeutic tea bag or tulsi, or I just use water if I'm in a hurry. And then when you're making the others, it could be herb extracts, powdered herb extracts. So let me give you examples. So I have, coconut. This is what I like to use, my flaked coconut. Just little tiny macaroon sizes, and it just gives it a nice consistency. I've got shiitake mushroom powder. I've got astragalus, which is an adaptogen and a good immune support. Chaga, amazing mushroom, medicinal mushroom. And it gives it almost a chocolatey cocoa kind of flavor. It's really nice. Holy basil. Now this one I would steep because it's a flower. I would steep my holy basil. So pour hot water over it. Let it sit for 15 minutes and then use that as my base. And if I'm in a hurry, I'll just do a tea bag. What do I have? Eleuthero, which is Siberian ginseng. And amounts of each of these, I would say, you look at the recipes for guidelines, usually use about a half a teaspoon. It depends if you've really got an affinity to something and you know it's better for you, you could do that. And then I don't have my favorite, which is cordyceps. I just fell in love with cordyceps once I started using it. I just feel so good on it. And then I found out it's good for endurance and athletic performance. And I'm like, I need some endurance, great. So it's really good. So you can just combine them and find the flavor you like. This morning before we left, Mary was staying at my house and she says, I got to make an elixir today. I haven't had my elixir in days. And she was throwing together chai tea and all these herbs and just having a good time with it. And it's just fun. It's just fun. In our adrenal support program, we have a whole bunch of elixir recipes. You weren't in that one. No. Maybe you were. No? I don't think you were. Okay. So anyway, I think I have one last slide which sums it up. And oh, yeah.
I just wanted to go back to the, we can wait until you're done if you want. I just want to go back to the foods that support hormones, the lignans.
Yeah.
I find that some women do not do well with like flax and soy.
Right.
You know, the liver pathways aren't, whether it's mm-hmm. genetic or not.
Right.
So
right.
How do you work with your clients that way?
I just don't use them.
Just don't, so just if they are sensitive, they don't use them?
Oh,
you
yeah,
don't try
yeah,
to fix
absolutely.
The problem, or,
these are just things. No, because there's so much controversy over soy, whether it is good, bad, and people. It's like, why waste your time on something like that when you can fix some things that are more important?
Right.
So initially, just stay away from the foods that don't work. And if they're down to just so few foods, you work at supporting the liver and looking at that as
right.
well.
Okay.
But initially, I just would say, well, that one doesn't work for you. Use this. Some people don't tolerate chia. We had a few people in our Before Be Gone program who didn't tolerate chia.
Right. So and what about do you find people are okay with hemp as well? Because it can.
I've found a few people get gut irritation and don't do well with hemp, and hemp can cross-react with gluten. Oh, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Wow.
Okay. Yeah. It's not one of the most common. It's on the list. Mm-hmm. They test for it, and I've done a bunch of those Cerex tests, and a few people have come up with it. Usually they're people with leaky gut. So when you fix the leaky gut, that heals. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good questions. All right. So hormone balancing by the clock. We've got, these are rules that we that came from our Before Be Gone program. We have one more question here.
I have a simple question. Can you just explain what crossover means?
Cross-reactive, yeah. I explained that before, but it's a really complex concept of the way that our immune system works and responds to foreign proteins in the blood where they don't belong is it attacks them, right, to get rid of them. And there's things called antibodies that attack. And so you've got a long chain of a protein molecule or polypeptide or whatever, polypeptide that gets into the bloodstream. And your body says, oh my God, that's not you. That's Staphylococcus, or that's wheat. We don't like that. We're going to attack it. And it remembers that. So it has this memory, and it attacks. So it has this gluten antibody, right? And it attacks the gluten. But the way that the immune system works is it looks at the first three amino acids on the chain rather than the whole chain. And that's how it differentiates it. So you can have a lot of molecules that look similar because their first three amino acids are similar, or where they're cleaved happens to be, or where they're separated happens to be similar. It may have that same chain as the gluten. Right. And it can be, you know, sometimes we get these, sometimes we react to something, sometimes we don't. And I just had this thought, and I'm going to have to bear it out, but this is how it works when you understand this stuff. You go, oh, well, what about that? When these proteins get into the bloodstream, they're not the full chain of protein. They're pieces. It's partially digested protein, so it's what's called polypeptides, and they get into the bloodstream. So what if the polypeptide is on the hemp looks like this today, it's this part of it, and tomorrow it's this part of it. Sometimes you may get a cross-reactivity, sometimes you won't. So I need to, that's something that just popped in my head and I need to research, but that would explain why, well, sometimes when I eat it, I'm okay, and sometimes when I eat it, I'm not. Do we have one more question, and then I'm going to finish up? Okay. There.
Could you list the most common cross-reactives with gluten? You mentioned coffee.
Oh, boy. I don't have them all memorized. Somebody in the room might be a Ghislaine or Beverly might know them. But coffee, dairy, egg, quinoa. And quinoa, they're more likely, some of these are more that they react because people introduce too much of it after they find out that they're gluten-free. Hemp, sesame, rice, potato, corn, oats. Yeah, it's a lot of the grains that can have the tendency to cross-react, which is why I don't eat any grains. I just stay away from them, except maybe sometimes aspartic quinoa. Yeah, and you can go to CyrexLabs.com, CyrexLabs.com. And if you look up Array 4, they have these different panels. Array 4 is the cross-reactivity one, and they'll list that. They have a nice little booklet for each of those. You have to set up an account. You can go in as a patient or a client. Okay? So this, I'm not going to go through all this because we're running out of time, but I'll leave this with you. I want to leave you with the thought, kind of like Donna, you can read these all. These are your kind of timing rules, but what you eat and when you eat it, very important. And I know you had a question, and we'll make sure we get to it. So what you eat is super important, and when you eat is very important, too. So there's timing rules, like we've talked about. Some of them, don't eat within 3 hours of bed so you don't disrupt your growth hormone. Here's one that most people don't know about, and it's really important. If you're going to eat carbohydrates, don't eat them first thing in the morning. When you eat them first thing in the morning, your leptin levels peak too soon, then they start to crash, and you get cravings like crazy for sugar in the evening. So that's a rule that most people don't know, and when they shift it. The other thing is spacing meals. If you can get them to space their meals by 4 to 6 hours versus every three, you're going to allow them to go into fat burning and detox and repair. Okay? And if they are going to eat in between that period, make sure it's extremely low sugar foods so that it doesn't spike the insulin too much. Okay? Timing rules are critical. When you work with your people on these, you pick your battles, right? You start with one you think is going to do it. I had one person, all we did was work on spacing the meals. She had a decent diet, And I said, okay, let's just space these meals. She lost 22 pounds in a month just by spacing her meals. It can happen. And so when you find that one little cog that's theirs, you'll have amazing results. Not everybody has that one. It's a lot of times it's the interactions, but sometimes you're going to see those and you go, holy cow, that was amazing. Okay, so timing rules are super important. And then the gremlins that charge their health, that sabotage, I think Artemis covered these pretty well this morning, don't you think? Guilt, shame. These things are sabotaging people because it makes them make poor choices. It gets lodged. The energy gets stuck in different places. It can't be just about food. It can't be just about exercise. It's about the lifestyle, right? It's about their stress levels. It's about their belief systems. And they don't know it. And when you can just sit with them, and oftentimes it's so obvious to you, but not to them. This is the piece I wanted you to have, and nobody found those handouts? All right. Oh, well. You'll have this on your slide. I have a chart, and when we send you the link to the PDF page, you'll have the full one. But this is basically, I like mnemonics. I like to come up with mnemonics so you remember. And it was interesting because I was in the back end of the service hall back that way. There's a service hall that's a shortcut to my room. And they basically have this thing, and they have a mnemonic about customer care. And it's like value. And then it has all these very neat things that they're supposed to be doing as a hotel to service us. And it was just so touched my heart that that's an acronym. And this is an acronym, VALOR. It's a double R at the end, but it's VALOR. Okay, this is the way that I approach people to get phenomenal results. And when you skip around and you don't approach it this way, you sometimes fail to get the results. So go back to the basics. The values, you get them in touch with their values. Artemis touched on that this morning too. When you get them in touch with what they want the most, they are going to stay connected to that and they'll do whatever it takes. Same thing with you. If you can get in touch with what you want the most in your practice, in your business, you're going to get the best results. You're going to see that vision and move with it. You've got the A is ask the right questions, right? We gave you tons of assessments. Ask the right questions to find out where are they now, what's getting in the way of where they want to go, where their goals are. Super important. Then you use, if you need to, labs and exams to help determine where they are right now on a more scientific level. Then you go at, where are we? Oh, order, like that protocol I just gave you, the hierarchies, the order of corrections. Don't just say, oh, they have hot flashes. I'm going to start by balancing their estrogen. Look and see what else is out of balance that can be leading to that and also leading to other things. You'll get quicker results and you'll get more long-term results. So the order is super important. Restore balance with diet, lifestyle, and supplementation as needed. Herbs, homeopathic supplements before going to things like bioidenticals. Bioidenticals can be fine. If somebody's missing a thyroid, send them off to their doctor to get their bioidentical thyroid hormone. If they're missing parts of their body, they may need them. But too many times we just jump in and do that and medications and things like that. Restore balance and reassess. So many people miss this. You have a coaching consult with somebody and they go off and do stuff and they follow up in 3 months, how are you doing? And that's just, it's not working. It's reassess. Do the questionnaires again. The questionnaires are a great way to do it. Some of those physical exam things like shining the light in their eyes that I went over yesterday, if you remember way back then. But you reassess at regular intervals and then adjust their plan. You're not a magician. You're not a mind reader. You don't have the ability to see. Maybe you do, and then you'll get it right the first time. But usually, once they've hit a certain place, then it has to be tweaked. And the layers start to get through, right? Unraveling the onion. So you fix this problem, and this problem that they didn't have before starts to show up because it was masked by the other one. Reevaluation and ongoing support. Super, super important. And this is just, from my perspective, the prerequisite for you for success as a health and wellness practitioner. You need effective assessments. You need to have detective skills like we talked about yesterday. You need to have great coaching, communication, and connecting skills. Because if you don't, and you're sitting there, and you're closed, and you're judging, they're not going to get results because they won't connect with you. You need to have deep understanding about how the body works. The more you understand, the more you can help them bring it into balance. And I would also add to that, and the effects of the mind's emotions and spirit on how that body works. And then a sound business model. If your model is that you're going to just have people come in and pay on a donation basis and you spend 3 or 4 hours with them, that might work if you have, if you're independently wealthy, if you don't have bills to pay, okay? But it doesn't work for a real business. And there's nothing unethical about charging for what you do. You're changing their lives. And I know as a holistic practitioner, I know I came from the place of, how can I charge people for helping them? And how could I refuse that person help because they don't have money? And there's ways, and once you can get successful and have the prosperity flowing, you can give back. You can do pro bono work. You can volunteer. You can help set up a nonprofit clinic where people could get the care they need. But you can't do that if you're starving. You have to be able to be prosperous yourself and charge people what they need to pay you. And once you do that, you can have the most amazing results, and it's that viral effect that you will have. And then finally, the ability, well, the second to the last, the ability to attract clients or have them find you. And there's so many ways these days. When I first started out, it was, here's my business card. Or a Yellow Page ad for $300 a month. No, thank you very much. Or going to networking meetings and shaking people's hands. Do you have any referrals for me? Do you have any, I can help you. It just, now you've got, you can do teleseminars. You can start like small and invite all your friends like I did. I am having a teleseminar. Would you come? And 6 people show up. Great. Tell your friends next time because you give great value to people for free. That's where you give your free stuff. Okay, people that can't afford to see you one-on-one, you give away free. How many people have taken advantage of my free stuff on my website? I have a ton of it, right? There's a, most of the people that come to my website do not pay me a dime and they get decent results. I can't help them solve their Hashimoto's that way, but a lot of them come pretty close. So you've got to get out there and give, but you give it in a way that's public access, that's not of your time. Your time is your most precious commodity. You can write and you can reach millions with that. So do it. So what else do we have? Blogs. And we'll go through that in the program. I have a whole module on how to help you get out there and reach people and have other people promote you and get the word out. And it doesn't have to take that long. I mean, compared to some people I know, I was slow in getting my list to go from 600 people to 20,000 in 5 years. That's, some people do that in a year. So, you know, they learn stuff that I didn't, but anyway, or they do a lot of other joint venture things and telesummits. What a great way to grow your list. So there's a lot of things that you can be doing to get out there and be known. Even if you do a face-to-face practice with people as opposed to an online practice, even if you want to mostly work one-on-one, you can use the power of the internet and the one-to-many marketing. One-to-many marketing, even if you want to do one-to-one services. I use one-to-many marketing to do one-to-many services as well, and you can get there. That's a more leveraged model. But first, you have to master the one-to-one. One-to-many marketing, one-to-one offerings. And it's really valuable to get that concept down, right? Just because you're just doing one-on-ones, not getting on the internet, doesn't mean you shouldn't get on the internet. You can offer consultations to people and get them in to see you. So all of this, and then enrollment. Once you've got them there and they go, yeah, I want to find out more what you do, you can't just say, well, here's what I do. I can help you sign up here. You have to have techniques and skills to do that. And there's very special ways to help people to say yes to themselves. Because it's not a matter of being sleazy and collecting money and, oh, my God, I'm going to just be a salesperson. You're just helping them. And if you don't tell them how you can help them and how they can pay you to help them, then you're doing a disservice because you're just depriving them of all the value. You have an amazing thing. And I want to do one last closing exercise, and then we're going to bring my team up. I want to recognize the team and have you be just really appreciative of all the work they've done. So I want you all to close your eyes and just get yourself comfortable. Yeah, you can put your books on the floor. Just get comfortable. And I want you to just look out and see the future. And I want you to see yourself 5 years from now. I want to look and see, what do you see? What do you feel? What do you hear? What's going on for you in 5 years? Imagine you're successful at your health coaching practice. You've mastered all the techniques of nutritional endocrinology, and you're helping people, and they're coming to you in droves. And you are so excited by possibility, by what you're doing and how you're doing it, and the help that you're providing people. So much so you've got goosebumps. And as you look to your future self, just take a step towards that future self. Big step. Take as many steps as you need so that you're standing right there in front of your future self, the you 5 years ago. Look in your eyes and see the confidence. Look in your heart and see the love. Look at your entire being and see the joy that making a contribution gives you. And look at the prosperity around you. You're comfortable, you have everything you need. And then ask your future self a question. Future self, what is the next step that I need to take to reach this place where you're already at? How do I get there next? One step. And just be silent for a moment and let the message come. When you're ready, open your eyes. And take out a piece of paper. We're going to give you your short term, what do you do from here, and your longer term, what do you do from here. I want you to write down anywhere from 1 to 3 things that you can do in this next week to take a step towards that future self. It could be a tiny baby step. It could be a huge, scary step. But one step that you can take to step into your future self. And when you're finished doing that, then write 1 or 2 things that you can do over the next 3 months, 6 months, that'll take you there. Maybe get a certain book, or read some materials you already have. Or go to the back and take the plunge and sign up and study with me. Whatever it is that your heart is calling to you to do, don't be afraid to ask for help, to get support. Whether you get that support through someone you met here, through joining us in our venture together, through a family member, you need someone that believes in your vision. So I want you to also write down that you're going to tell 3 people this week what that vision is. Because when you speak it out loud, you make it real. You put the message out to the universe. Can I share your story? Where's Christy? Where's Christy? Is she here? About your house? Can I tell them? So Christy has been trying to sell her house for 3 years. And yesterday she said, I really want to join the program. I don't have any money. And if my house sells, I'm joining this program. And she got a call from her realtor yesterday evening that she had a bid on her house. And today she was getting a contract. And guess what? She joined us. Talk about manifesting your desire. 3 years, the house is on the market. Coincidence or divine intervention? You decide. Right? Put it out there. When you put out a really pure vibration, you move towards it. When you speak it, you make it a reality, and you speak it as if it's right, real. And your vision, you write it on an index card or speak it into your iPhone or something, and you play it every day, kind of like Donna did. Play it every day. You read it every day. And you ask yourself, what do I need to do right now, today? One thing. It could be a tiny thing. What do I need to do today that takes me one step closer to that vision? And when you do that every day, that's 365 steps. That's a good leap, right? A year. Don't allow one day to go by and waste it. You have the power. We have the power to change the world. World health and world peace, they are bonded. And I just, you need support. And so what I was going to say is, just as it takes, it's going to take you some support to get to you to where your goal is. It took me a lot of support to put this event on. And you've met my team and all these wonderful people that have supported me, and I just wanted to introduce you to them. So is that okay if we take a couple of minutes just so you, we can honor them and acknowledge them? Let's come on. Stacy. This is Stacy Cole. She's one of my locals. She lives locally. We have a lot of remote people, but Stacy's Cole, and she's amazing. She did all the Facebook stuff and set up the Facebook group and does all the Facebook marketing and the blog talk radios and all that sort of stuff. Thank you. She's been keeping us on time. So let's call up our, where is everybody else? Jan, come on up. Stay up here. We're going to give a group hug and a group round of support. Jan lives in Utah, and she's the one that came to me and said, I really want to do your program, and I really don't have money. She just paid $300 to do one program and wanted to do the $3,000 program for the year and said, really want it, but here's what I can do for you. And she gave me this long list. Is this any stuff you need? Well, editing and phone editing and going, oh, my God, I need all of that. So we had a conversation. She said, but don't worry, if it doesn't work out and you don't like me and I don't do a good job, just tell me. And that was, what, a year and a half ago?
Almost two
years ago. We said, you're not going anywhere, you're a gem. And we have, where's Mary? Just bringing up our... Mary again came... She did programs. She invested in herself and wanted to continue, and we decided that she was going to continue as being a part of the team. And so Mary is our neuroscientist, and she has all of our Excel sheets that we're working on to get out the labs and setting up the exams for the certification program and all kinds of whatever we need Mariel to. And she's been such a help throughout this. Mac Guru, yeah. Anybody calls up and says, I can't get that download on my Mac, she helps them. So thank you, Mary. We have our volunteers. So let's bring up our volunteers. Let's see, you've met Donna. Come on up. Donna just came out. She just came out from Pennsylvania because she wanted to be warm and be around her buddies.
Yeah, mostly be around.
And she's just been helping, doing whatever we needed her to do, registration or whatever she needed to do, she was there for, and that's awesome. And her husband, Joe, who came along. And he's been helping with so much stuff. I don't even know all the things that they've been doing, but I know they've been keeping it running smoothly. And Gretchen. Gretchen is a dear friend of mine, and we've known each other for many years and worked on each other. She's the most amazing massage therapist. So if you're here in Austin and you want a really great body work, she's amazing. And she and I've worked on each other and traded and done all kinds of great stuff together. And she joined us last spring to help us with Spring Into Vitality. And we said, can you come back and help us again? She's just such a great presence. Her energy is amazing. So thank you. And Roy's our sound guy. You don't see the sound guy too much, but you appreciate him, right? Keeping the mics going and alternating them and getting the music going. So thank you, Roy. And who else is here? Is there anybody else here? Come on up. And this is Scott, and he is obviously a little more than just a team player. And he's been my support for all these times when I said I'm leaving my $55,000 a year job and going back to school, and freaked out but supported me. I'm going to join this $30,000 a year program. What? Freaked out, but then when I doubled my income, he supported me. So he's kind of, you know, been there. And thank you, been there the whole time. So thank you, everyone, for just, and let's just all stand up and give ourselves a round of applause. And if there's one word that would represent your vision, just one word that, or the feeling you get when you're stepping into that vision, I want you to, on the count of three, we're going to just throw up our hands and shout it out, okay? One, two, three.
Serve!
Whatever you said, it is spoken, and it will be true. If you haven't come up to me and introduced yourself and given me a hug throughout the weekend, please catch me. I'm going to hang around, and I would love to do that. And okay. So when Michaeline spoke about the methylation test 23andMe, we have an account with them, and I think I gave you the wrong link. It's 23andme.com/DrLoscalzo. I said Rita Marie. No period, just Dr. Loscalzo. And they'll give you $20 off. You get it for $80. The other thing I didn't mention earlier, I always wait to the last minute to do that. One of the things that everybody in the program is going to get, I forgot to tell you, is the videos. Assuming they come out. And our video guys, Max and Norm,